This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
This week on Witness History, we're bringing you programmes about food. The dispute between Japan and South Korea over fermented cabbage. Christetta Comerford tells us how she became the first person of colour to be the top White House chef. And how Hollywood bigwigs mocking British food led to the creation of one of the most popular cookery programmes on the planet. Witness History, the podcast that takes you to amazing moments in history told through the eyes of the people who were there. Search and subscribe to Witness History wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Ooh, it's a cold and rainy morning here in Paris. And I'm standing right by the River Seine looking across at the Cathedral of Notre Dame. And I can see up in the scaffolding, the construction workers are hammering, they're moving around. The tower cranes are swinging overhead as well.
The reason I'm standing in the rain at 8 in the morning by the River Seine in the heart of Paris is because of the incredible structure before me. For almost 900 years, the Cathedral of Notre Dame has been a jewel in the crown of Paris. A Gothic structure dating back to the 12th century, one of the world's great cathedrals.
And over to my left, I see a lady. She appears to be praying. I'm going to approach her, say hello.
I'm Colm Flynn, and for Heart and Soul from the documentary on the BBC World Service, I've come to Paris to hear what the restoration and rebirth of this cathedral means to the people of France.
What is your name?
Sylvie.
Sylvie, are you from Paris?
Yes, I'm born in Paris.
I just walked past you here next to Notre Dame, and I saw that you were, it looked like you were praying in silence.
Yes, I see this cathedral, and I saw her like a very old woman, so broken and so hurted. I wanted to see her this morning in with the sun, and to see the light of the sun on her, and it's so beautiful.
Isn't it amazing that just as we are talking, the morning sun started to shine on Notre Dame right in front of us?
Yes, I just saw the sun behind her. I say her because it's really a beautiful woman. And I thought the fire is behind her, and it's great. Not in her, but behind her. And it's the good fire.
It's the good fire. Light. The light of hope.
Yes.
The light of hope is something that people say Notre Dame has represented for centuries. But 5 years ago, the unthinkable happened.
Good evening. It is one of the most famous buildings in the world. It has stood on the banks of the River Seine for more than 800 years. Tonight, Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris is completely engulfed by fire.
On the evening of April the 15th, 2019, a fire broke out in the wooden roof section of the cathedral. The roof was nicknamed the Forest because of the amount of ancient oak wooden beams. There was renovation work being carried out at the time, and it is believed that an electrical spark could have triggered the fire. But the investigation is still ongoing, and it is believed the cause was likely accidental. But that spark turned into a fire, and then a huge blaze, causing extensive damage, including the destruction of the entire roof and the collapse of the iconic 19th century spire. And the flames got so bad that many people feared France and the world had just lost a great treasure.
It's feared very little has been saved. Huge crowds gathered in the streets around it. Many were in tears.
Cécile, what a beautiful evening it is here in Paris.
Yes, indeed.
Where are we sitting at the moment?
In a coffee shop next to the cathedral.
All around us we can see all these sparkling Christmas lights, and it's a beautiful atmosphere, isn't it?
Oh yeah, because we are waiting here in Paris for a great event, the reopening of Notre Dame.
One of those people who left her home in another part of Paris after seeing the news on TV and rushed to be in the crowd in front of the burning cathedral was Cécile Thévenin, and we meet up for a coffee.
suddenly in the news, there was like, there's a big fire. So I went immediately to Notre Dame with, there were a lot of people around. And
you
I
came
was,
here, you came straight
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And I was like literally crying because we thought that the cathedral would crumble. Then we were praying basically or singing because like we can't do anything.
With a feeling of helplessness, Cecile and the crowd started to sing and pray.
When you were among the crowd and people were singing and they were praying, what was the atmosphere like? What did it feel like?
You had this magic, you had this very deep moment where everyone was like praying. And I discovered that at this moment, French people were deeply attached to this cathedral.
What Cecile said was interesting, that she realized that at that moment just how attached the people of France were to the cathedral. And by the following morning, the world's media had all picked up on the story of Notre Dame and the fire, and it was making headline news. This was a global story.
Welcome to CBS This Morning. We're talking about one of the great symbols of Paris and all of Western civilization. It is still standing this morning after a fire that nearly destroyed it.
The fire was out and the cathedral was still standing, but with significant damage to the interior, the windows, the stone statues, the roof had completely collapsed. But due to the heroic work of the firefighters, much of the ancient artwork and religious relics were rescued. With the images of the smouldering cathedral being flashed on TV screens, there was an immediate outpouring of grief and sorrow from around the world, followed by a willingness to help. There never seemed to be any doubt that the cathedral would be fully restored, and the French president, Emmanuel Macron, vowed to have it opened again in 5 years, in time for the Paris Olympics. And as the numbers of those practicing organized religion is declining in Europe, particularly in France, many were surprised by the support of the general public to have it restored. This is something I asked Father Oliver Riboud-Douma about. He's the rector of Notre Dame, and we sat in his office just next to the cathedral.
When the cathedral burned on April 15th, 2019, the strong emotional reaction clearly demonstrated everyone's attachment to this Notre Dame de Paris cathedral. Because this cathedral is something of the soul of France, the history of our country is intimately linked with the history of the cathedral, and at the same time, its influence extends far beyond France. The cathedral does not belong to Parisians, nor to Catholics, nor to the French, but it is the common good of all humanity. And its stones speak of God because they have been animated by prayer for more than 800 years.
What was the most challenging part of this restoration? And were there any points, Rector, where you thought this might be impossible?
I always had hope, but really there was no shortage of difficulties during these 5 years. It was not an easy project. In fact, it was a gigantic project with so many different people involved. But what struck me the most was the will of everyone to succeed. It was this dedication. I think they all had this deep conviction that they were working not simply on a building, but they were working on something that was sacred and beyond themselves. You know, there were believers and non-believers working on this restoration, people of other religions too, but they were all united around this idea that once the fire went out, Notre Dame had to be rebuilt.
Over 800
million euros were raised from governments, billionaire benefactors, and countless small donors. And over 2,000 skilled workers painstakingly went over every inch of the cathedral's interior to bring it back to its former glory. And in the week leading up to its official reopening, the completed restoration work was officially inspected by Emmanuel Macron. The French president and a small group of VIPs walked through the stunning cathedral. broadcast live on French television, millions watched as the president was given a first look at the new altar, the white stone and gold details, and the restored bells. And guiding the president through the cathedral, and the person you can hear talking to him now, was the chief architect and the man responsible for the entire project, Philippe Villeneuve.
I don't want to begin in English because I'm not sure that I will arrive to the end of my sentence. So I prefer don't begin.
He and I are walking by the Seine with a beautiful view of the cathedral. Tourists pass on little boats, all rushing to take pictures on their phones when the cathedral comes into view.
I've heard you say before that the day the fire started here at Notre Dame, the little boy inside of you died. What did you mean by that?
Je suis amoureux fou de Notre-Dame de Paris depuis que je suis petit.
Well, because I've been madly in love with Notre-Dame de Paris since I was little. Growing up, it was inside the cathedral where I felt good. And when I was 16, I made a model of the cathedral. I was really captivated by it, moved by it. And little did I know as a kid when I was building the cathedral out of carbon paper that one day I would be working on the real cathedral. And so when I laid the last stone of the vault in the north transept, it brought me back. And I saw myself as a kid again, building this vault with paper and cardboard.
And even though Philippe knows the cathedral like the back of his hand, his eyes are still constantly drawn to it.
It
was an enormous amount of work. I realize it now, looking at where we came from. I'm really amazed by the beauty, amazed by the work, by the quality of work.
The deeper meaning behind this, are you a man of faith?
J'ai passé 5 ans. À rien dire à ce sujet-là.
You know, I spent 5 years saying nothing about this because I'm a civil servant in a secular republic and therefore I couldn't say something like this. But now, I have to reveal that, yes,
que j'ai une dévotion particulière à la Vierge, Marie.
I have a particular devotion to the Virgin Mary and, at the risk of sounding totally crazy or like Joan of Arc, I never stopped feeling support coming from up there. I don't think this project would have been possible otherwise, and I think that's what gave me the strength and determination to move forward, because I knew I was supported from up there.
To hear the chief architect of a monumentous restoration project like this say that his work was helped by Our Lady is not something you hear on a building site every day. But the more people you talk to about Notre Dame de Paris, Our Lady of Paris, the more you realize the spiritual power they believe this cathedral has had and the profound symbolism behind its survival and restoration. You're listening to Heart and Soul from the documentary on the BBC World Service.
This week on Witness History, we're bringing you programmes about food. The dispute between Japan and South Korea over fermented cabbage. Christetta Comerford tells us how she became the first person of colour to be the top White House chef. And how Hollywood bigwigs mocking British food led to the creation of one of the most popular cookery programmes on the planet. Witness History, the podcast that takes you to amazing moments in history told through the eyes of the people who were there. Search and subscribe to Witness History wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
I'm Colm Flynn in Paris, talking to people about the restoration of Notre Dame Cathedral.
Un petit bout d'avenir sous ma pauvre
électron. It's a rainy evening in Paris, and I've just come out of the metro in another part of the city to meet Paul de Livron.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
It's Colm from the BBC. How are you?
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. How are you doing today?
Fine, thank you.
It's a little bit cold and rainy outside. This is your apartment?
Yes, it is, yes. Welcome.
What part of the city is this?
This is a suburb of Paris, maybe 5 kilometers from Paris. Pretty rich city, but like the poor sector of the rich city.
Paul is in a wheelchair and leads me around his apartment.
Yes.
This is incredible.
Just follow me. Here is my living room and the place I am working the most of my time.
Now, it immediately caught my eye, the piece of wood up here in the glass. Yes. Tell me about that piece of wood. You're smiling.
This is a piece of oak that comes from the burnt frame of Notre-Dame de Paris.
Wow. So that is from the cathedral. That was some of the wood that survived the fire.
Yes, exactly.
It's black on one side.
Yeah.
It's burnt on one side.
Yes.
Over a coffee, Paul tells me his story. He prefers to speak in French when talking about how his life changed forever when he was just 21 and hiking in the south of France.
C'est à peu près ça, effectivement. Il y a 11 ans, en 2013.
Yes, you're right. It was 11 years ago, in 2013. I was hiking with two friends from the engineering school where I was a student. We were in a very beautiful park near Marseille in the south of France. And I slipped on some gravel at the top of a cliff and fell. I landed in a tree that saved my life. But I twisted my back, and that broke a vertebra and damaged my spinal cord. As a result, I lost most of the ability to use my legs, especially the ability to walk.
For Paul, the accident was catastrophic. He was never going to walk again. But amazingly, he didn't despair.
What about your faith? Were you a person of faith before the accident?
Yes,
I was a person who already had faith. And in fact, I believe I owe a lot in particular to Holy Mary for the fact that I survived the accident. I was wearing a miraculous medal of Mary around my neck, and I think that's what saved me.
After his accident, Paul embarked on a new mission in life, designing and hand-carving beautiful wooden wheelchairs in the hope that they would uplift other users. And when he saw the fire at Notre Dame in 2019, he felt something about it reflected his own story of tragedy that nearly destroyed him, and he felt determined to be part of the restoration in some way.
Like many people in France and around the world, I watched all the news about the fire, wanting to know everything I could about it. I felt this desire to help in the restoration, but because of my wheelchair, even if I had the skills to help, I couldn't even access the construction site, for example. But I was able to get charred wood from the Notre Dame fire, wood dating from the beginning of the 19th century, and I was able to work this into my wheelchairs.
Paul put two dark lines at the back of his chairs, charred wood that survived the fire of Notre Dame, which he says represent strength and resilience.
In the end, it's quite wonderful and providential. My tragedy, my path, ended up giving me a way that I could contribute to the cathedral.
As the Christmas lights twinkle up and down the Champs-Élysées and the Eiffel Tower shines its light across the city, last-minute preparations are underway at the cathedral the night before the grand reopening. And in a nearby church, a choir of men and women are holding a final rehearsal.
Très content, hâte de cette dernière répétition aussi.
This is the Notre Dame Workers' Choir, made up of over 80 architects, engineers, carpenters, crane operators, construction workers.
I am Olive Maurice, and I'm from France. I'm from Rouen in Normandy. I'm a carpenter, and my company worked on the carpentry in Notre Dame, the towers as well.
How does it feel to be part of this beautiful choir?
It's a great experience. Many of us are not familiar with singing or involved in any choir, so I think the result is convincing. It's okay.
My name is Jeanne. I'm from France. I'm from Normandy. I was a painter, kind of painter, and most of the time I'm a sculptor.
How does it feel to be singing in this very special choir?
It's nice. It's really cool. I think it will be magic.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And just as the rector told me, in this choir, there are people of different religions and no religion, all singing Christian hymns together.
I'm a Muslim, and for me, being in this choir is all about practicing tolerance on a human scale. It is a fabulous moment for me.
Their conductor is Frédéric Pignou, and they're preparing to perform inside Notre Dame in just a few days, the very cathedral which they helped bring back to life.
We're going to turn now to Paris, where world leaders are gathering to celebrate the reopening of the Notre Dame.
After 5 long years of working and waiting, on a cold and misty Saturday night, December the 7th, as the nation watched live on television, the Archbishop of Paris, Laurent Ulrich, knocked on the doors of Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, modèle de la foi.
Notre Dame, open your doors. Inside, the sound of Notre Dame's 8,000 pipe organ filled the cathedral, and a choir sung out in joy. The cathedral looking brighter than ever, as all the stone had been cleaned, every single structure repainted, and the stained glass windows given back their colour and vibrancy.
Vive Notre Dame de Paris.
In attendance were representatives of over 50 nations, including Prince William from the United Kingdom, First Lady Jill Biden from the United States, Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky, and US President-elect Donald Trump, who stood right next to French President Emmanuel Macron. This reopening, more or less on time and within budget, was seen as a huge boost for Macron and couldn't have come at a better time when his political career needed a lifeline. Notably absent was Pope Francis, who chose to decline the invitation to the event. This is something that disappointed many Catholics, and something I asked the rector about during our earlier conversation.
The absence of Pope Francis, how do you feel about that?
You know, the absence of Pope Francis is not really news. As early as February, the Pope had said that he wouldn't be attending, and I believe it's because he knows it's the Archbishop of Paris that has the job to open his cathedral. And also, I believe that if he were here, it would in a certain way eclipse the actual opening of the cathedral itself. So we know that he is with us in prayer, but it's no surprise that he is not coming.
D'une certaine manière, mais ce n'est pas une surprise qu'il ne vienne pas.
A row had also broken out in France around the reopening after the Minister for Culture suggested a 5 euro fee should be charged to visitors in the future, which could be put towards restoring some of the country's other cathedrals, some much in need of repair. However, the Catholic Church and the rector of Notre Dame strongly opposed this, saying entrance to a church should always be free, as it is a place of worship and not a museum.
I have to make sure it is a place of prayer, so that it is a place of celebration, and so that it is a place of discovery of faith.
The following morning, before the reopening Sunday Mass, I'm out for a stroll with local Frenchman Henri de Selme.
Henry, hey, great to meet you.
He was at the opening the night before, where the French president came over to shake his hand, nicknamed France's backpack hero, for his bravery in saving children during a terrorist attack in 2023. He then went on to publish a book about the importance of French cathedrals.
When you look there at Notre Dame in the distance and you see how she has been restored to her former glory, what first comes to your mind?
It's a warm, deep feeling for my heart, because it's a signal and a sign of faith and hope for me and for my country.
And when I asked what the restored cathedral means to him, he focused in on the symbolism of the new spire.
There is a lot of energy in France. People are looking for something to dream about. Look at the spire of the cathedrals. It is a direction. It's like a bridge between earth and heaven. A finger showing God. Even if we don't have faith, it is a direction. Okay? It is a symbol of an ideal. Like, always look up to the sky, dream big, and to act with greatness.
And then, as the bell struck 10, another joyous occasion, when on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, the first Mass after the reopening of Notre Dame was celebrated. Finally, I asked Philippe Villeneuve, the chief architect, what he wants people to feel when they walk through the restored cathedral.
I hope that people will be amazed. I hope they will find it superb. Because I did this for them. Notre Dame de Paris, it belongs to me, and it belongs to you. It belongs to all the people, each one of us. Our Lady is for all of us.
And what about him personally? Is he able to switch off and enjoy his work?
Je sais pas encore.
I hope I will be able to come and enjoy it, like everyone else, without thinking, oh, that bit isn't finished. And then there's that. No, that's it. It's done. It's beautiful.
You've been listening to From the Ashes, Notre Dame, a heart and soul program from the documentary on the BBC World Service. It was produced and presented by me, Colm Flynn, on location in Paris, France. And the executive producer for the BBC was Rajiv Gupta. And until next time, thanks for listening.
This week on Witness History, we're bringing you programmes about food. The dispute between Japan and South Korea over fermented cabbage. Christetta Comerford tells us how she became the first person of colour to be the top White House chef. And how Hollywood bigwigs mocking British food led to the creation of one of the most popular cookery programmes on the planet. Witness History, the podcast that takes you to amazing moments in history told through the eyes of the people who were there. Search and subscribe to Witness History wherever you get your BBC podcasts.